welcome to the first Melbourne Retro podcast. I'm joined with Parfo. My name is Scott, and we are going to discuss everything from retro games to current games. Let's get the ball rolling. Parfo, if you want to introduce yourself and tell us some games you've picked up lately.
My name is James, or Parfo. A few games that I've collected lately is a few Nintendo 64 games like Killer Instinct Gold. Mostly been trying to get a bunch of NES games at the moment. I've picked up a few recently, like Shadowgate, World Champ, Russian Attack, Tiger Alley, Cobra Triangle, and Return to Silius.
Wow, okay. Some nice pickups there.
Yes. Also got a few Wii U games on the cheap. Oh, yeah. Shovel Knight, which I've been playing a fair bit.
Yep,
absolutely love that game. It's very retro, very 8-bit. But also very fun. Can't go wrong with it.
Yeah, I saw that at the store. I think it was had a price tag, at least in Australia, of about $40. Do you think it's worth that price tag?
Definitely. Okay. It's a very basic game, but it's fun nonetheless.
It's good to see something like that be available on disc and not just on the store, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
For me, like, I like to have everything sort of, you know, a physical copy. Fearing that in years time we won't be able to actually play them because they won't be available. So a game like that, it's not a recreation of something, is it? It's just a brand new idea.
It's a brand new idea. It's very fresh. It kind of reminds me of the old DuckTales.
Yeah.
But overall, it's an amazing game for what it is.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Alright, so just those titles at the moment?
Picked up a few GameCube titles like Luigi Mansion.
Yeah.
Mario Sunshine and the first Pikmin. So a few classics there, but nothing too special.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah, well, I obviously it's just gone Christmas and I've had my birthday as well. I've got the new Tomb Raider on Xbox One, Fallout on PS4. I got the Mario Tennis on Wii U. Halo 5 I got on release, but I've only just finished it. And yeah, couple of consoles I got recently from eBay was a TurboGrafx, a PS2 from Japan, so I can play imports.
Yeah.
I also had to buy another Japanese Sega Saturn because the first time I went to Japan, which was last year, I bought a Sega Saturn and I came home and stupidly plugged it into the AC adapter and blew it up. I tried to get the replacement parts, but I couldn't find them and it just wouldn't work, so I had to buy another. I mean, it was only like a $30 to replace the actual console,
yeah.
So it wasn't too bad.
Could be worse.
Yeah, but funnily enough, when I bought the new one, I found the parts I needed for the old one, so soon I'll have two. So, yeah. Oh, well.
And recently, we went to Japan together.
We did. We went, it was November 5th we flew out. And we went to Korea first for a week, and then we went over to Japan with another friend who might join us on the show another time, but... Yeah, basically, well, for me it was very expensive, I'm sure for you it was too, but
yeah, definitely.
It's my second time there, and I knew what to expect, but I think for you, what were your expectations heading there for the first time in terms of retro games and games in general?
To be honest, I wasn't expecting too much. I knew it was around, but how easy was it to fly in? I wasn't too sure. Mainly went there for just the tourist attractions, but... When I got there, I was overwhelmed and money was flying out of my pockets in no time.
Yeah. It's really interesting, isn't it? Just the amount of care they have for pretty much all their products. You go to a store. And, you know, for us to go to a store in Melbourne and find a, you know, Link to the Past in the box on the shelf, it's just... You'd never ever see it.
Yeah.
You'd just never ever see that.
And or it's extremely overpriced.
Yeah, I think you'd only see it at, say, Cash Converters or... You'd see it online on the sales groups, but I just don't think that you'd come across it, whereas in Japan you'd go to a store and you'd see, you know, three copies.
Yeah, exactly.
They might not all be in perfect condition, but just to see three copies sitting next to each other in the box, it's like, holy moly, like,
yeah.
Wow. So, yeah, that was pretty amazing.
Yeah.
But, definitely enjoyed that side of it, just seeing the games on the shelves.
I mostly went there looking for some Super Nintendo games, which I did find, and came away with a few consoles, like the Famicom in a box as well.
Yeah.
Plus Super Famicom, and which you got a Nintendo Converter to play the old Nintendo Famicom games on the console, and that just opened up a whole new avenue for me, and I spent beyond maybe close to a grand on Famicom stuff.
Well, it's just so, I mean, for you, it was, you were going back into your room each night and looking up games, the good games, and pretty much we were going out and finding them. And I think every time we went out and we got, you know, a big bag of games, you'd be like, all right, this is the last time, no more. And then, like, 2 hours later, we're back out there with some other stuff. It's because you just never know what you're going to find, so...
Yeah.
It's just so exciting like that, but...
It was exciting. We were up at the crack of dawn, waiting for the shops to open, and then bang, we were in there.
Yeah, it was dangerous for me because, I mean, I've got pretty much most of the systems, so... And, like, you know, there's so many good games on so many different consoles, and to actually make friends with the guys who own the shops and say, you know, what do you got, what's the best games, and they go, got to get this, got to have this, and they're like,
yeah.
Okay.
Even more avenues.
Yeah,
there.
I know. It was a good experience. I'm happy I did it. I mean, to import those games would be ridiculously expensive, but, I mean, you got to remember you can get a, you know, a boxed Metroid for, like, $35 Australian,
yeah.
So that's pretty good.
Exactly.
Doesn't matter if it's not in the same language. Well, yeah. But,
I went there looking for one rare game, which I happened to get on one of my final days in Tokyo, which was Little Samson in Japanese.
Jeez.
And I was trying to just find the cart only, and that was near impossible, but I happened to find it in the box.
Yeah.
Which was... 450,000 yen.
Jesus.
Which equivalents to about $600 Australian.
Yeah.
And,
but I mean, you make that, like, for those who don't know, Little Samson's probably, what, the second rarest or third rarest Nintendo game out there.
It's up
and
there.
And even the Japanese version is extremely rare. Does it have a lot of text in it? I've never actually played it.
There is absolutely no text whatsoever.
So it's really rare, and you got it pretty much mint in box. I mean, for $600, you can make that back easy, and plus a little bit more.
Definitely, but I don't know if I could part with it. My missus would kill me as well.
Well, yeah, didn't she give it to you as, like, a Christmas present in the end?
That's correct, yeah.
Oh, well, that's alright then. Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, you sort of look at it, I mean, 20 years from now, you're not really going to think, like, if only I had $600,
yeah,
I'd be happy, you know, so... Yes, but I mean, you need stuff to fill up the shelves and
the rest of it. I thought it was a well worth investment.
Mm. So, in terms of playing games and collecting, would you say you collect games and, you know, you're like a shelf collector, or would you say that every game you get, you have the intention of playing?
I generally have the intention of playing it.
Yep.
Generally, even my retro consoles, they have gone old and yellowed. Because I have been playing them, they're not just sitting there in protection.
Yep.
There are many retro collectors out there who just want to keep them in mint condition to make a buck, but I'd rather have so much enjoyment from them.
Yeah, I think that's similar to what I mean. I'm not going to lie, there has been times where I've been on the internet and I've seen, you know, this game's a rare game and I've been able to find it in the wild cheap and I haven't rushed home to play it because it sort of goes to the back of the pile when you've got games that, you know, you're currently playing. And being a collector, you know, you're never really happy with what you've got. You're sort of always going to get more and more and more. And then you find, like, I don't really have the hours in the day to play all these.
Yeah,
and then,
definitely.
Like, I mean, I've been dying to play Mario Galaxy 1 since that came out, and I still haven't even played it.
No?
And there's been a Mario Galaxy 2, and there can quite possibly be a Mario Galaxy 3, and I wouldn't have even played the first one. But, that's just how it goes. Like, I'm halfway through Mario Sunshine, and you just lose track and start playing something else.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, why is it that it's the Nintendo? Did you have a Nintendo? Like, why is it that you collect the Nintendo more than anything else? Is that because you had a Nintendo growing up, or you just like the feel of the old school games?
It was more because I had my first console was the Super Nintendo, and probably, actually, it might have been the Game Boy, the first one. It was given to me as a Christmas present, and then a couple of years later, it was the Super Nintendo.
Yep.
And I actually got one of my mum's and one of my dad's, like, the same year, so it was... couldn't go wrong there.
Two Nintendos.
Yeah. But it all comes back to is, as a kid, I always used to be at my cousin's house, and they had a NES, and I always used to go over there and play, even though the games were very hard. But this is one Ninja Turtles game that was in love with the show, and then playing this game, and I just couldn't get enough, and it all snowballed from there.
You're talking about Turtles in Time?
No, it was actually Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles on the Nintendo Entertainment System. Which had nothing to do with the show, but just playing with those turtles is an absolute great game.
I think when you're a, sort of a young child and you're playing games that are familiar to you in terms of the characters, it doesn't really matter that it's not related to the show, but you just get enjoyment playing it. Like, for me, we missed, I mean, I was born in 89, so we sort of, we didn't have a Nintendo Entertainment System. We had a Super Nintendo from, well, I don't know what year it was exactly, but we got the Mario All-Stars box set.
Yeah, that's what I got here.
Yeah, I remember we woke up on Easter, and we were staying in a hotel at the time, and it was up behind our heads, and we were so excited. Anyway, so we played that, and we had Mario All-Stars. My brother loved art, so he had Mario Paint with the mouse and the pad, you know, really obscure tiles as well, and I was just like, used to get so much enjoyment out of it, but Mario, you know, Mario 2 was so hard. I used to pull out the start and select button out of the controller, and then, like, we couldn't play certain games for, you know, just game raging at a young age. But, you know what I mean? Like, I'm really keen on collecting the Super Nintendo because that was my first console.
Yeah.
But games, even when I was a child and I'd go to the video store and say, I would hire out Ninja Turtles Tournament Fighters probably, you know, once a month, which was pretty often. Like, we didn't go to the video store all the time, but that was, you know, I'd save up the $4.50 orders, hire it out for a week and play it. But I just never got it until I was like 18. But I don't know why we were given certain games at our birthdays and Christmas and not games that we'd hire out all the time. You know what I mean? But that was a game I really loved because I loved the show as well. But yeah.
I used to hire a fair bit of games from a video store that was actually close to both of us. It was called Video Boom.
Yeah, yeah.
And,
because they actually did a console that you could rent the console.
Yeah.
Yeah, genius.
They had a great selection of games all the time. Yeah. It was a really small store.
Yeah.
But very friendly. And there was a few games. Tournament Fighters is actually one game I used to hire all the time. And, Turtles in Time. Couldn't get enough of that game. Even though I used to struggle throwing the foot plant towards at the screen.
Yeah.
That was a big struggle when I was a kid.
Yeah.
But now I know got it down pat.
Some games you go back to. When I was a kid I could beat Donkey Kong 3. No worries with my eyes closed. Now I can't even, there's no way I could, like, there's this underwater boss. I can't get through that. It's impossible. I don't know how I did it, but I guess I had a lot of time to sit down and keep going over and over and over it, but...
Exactly.
So the Super Nintendo, like, my sort of story in retro game collecting started when I was young, and I think we'd crossed paths early in high school, so we knew each other, were both into gaming at some extent, but behind the scenes, I was already sort of going out to markets and stuff like that, looking for games, and this is back when, you know, before the internet, well, before YouTube anyway, where people were actually collecting.
Yeah.
You go to the markets and you'd find, I used to be really surprised by how many Super Nintendo games there was, and every time you go to the market, it was almost like every game you'd see, it was just $20. They'd just say $20 or $10. So I remember I got Captain America and the Avengers on Super Nintendo for $20, and I was happy with that. You know, like, to me that was a good deal. But then I'd go around to cash converters and stuff like that, and you'd see games in there for $3.
No.
Like Pinocchio, Bubsy, I got Legend of Zelda: Link to the Past in the box for like $10.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is great, you know. And then all of a sudden it started changing when it became, I guess, a sport in some ways. So,
It's changed big time.
Yeah.
There used to be certain stores, like Video Games Heaven, they used to have cartridges real cheap, and they were rare ones too. This is going back 10 years ago now.
Yeah, it got shut down around the time when the GameCube came, just after the GameCube came out.
And it was great finding an old game that you hadn't seen in so many years, that it used to be Killer Instinct was one game that I picked up from there, and I used to play it all the time with my dad. He loves fighting games, and so do I. And to find that, like, $5 at Video Games Heaven, and now it's gone up to about $25, which isn't that much of a big deal.
Yeah.
But it's just getting ridiculous now.
Because that's a... Video Games Heaven was at Knox City, and, you know, that's... Now it's an Osmosis, and it's actually quite a big store. And from what I can remember, it sort of went around like in a big U.
Yeah.
And up the back left, you had your like computer games. To the right of that, you had your lay-by. And then all down the side, you had... I think down the right side, you had obscure consoles, but there was like maybe one or two games for them. And then you had like your more relevant games closer to the front on each side in glass cabinets. And you could sort of say to them, like, can I have a crack of... that game, and they put it on for you, which is really awesome. And the staff were like really friendly, and it's just love going there just to have a look. And if you needed a controller, there was like a box full of controllers and cords and stuff like that. And yeah, it was awesome to go there and just flick through all the Super Nintendo games. I used to save my allowance and go there and buy a game every second week, I think. And then, yeah, one week I remember getting Star Fox from there. Mm. And I'd never heard about it, and I got it. And I was like, oh my god, it's 3D on the Super Nintendo. I couldn't believe it.
Nah.
Yeah, so, but then it shut down, unfortunately. And now there's not really like, there's no place to really like that.
No, definitely not. That's where I actually bought my PlayStation 1 from when it first came out.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I traded in my Super Nintendo with all my games there to put towards it as credit.
Yeah, I've all been guilty of that at some stage.
Yeah.
Do you think that there's anything on the Super Nintendo you had that you don't have at the moment?
Ooh, good question. I actually don't have Bubsy, and I used to have that.
Yeah.
Some games I've bought again over the years.
Yeah.
A few games that I don't have as an Oz Power thing is Mario Kart and Donkey Kong Country 1.
Yeah.
I had those as a kid and I absolutely loved those as a kid, but when we were in Japan, they were like $12.
Yeah.
So I ended up picking it up for the Super Famicom, and you don't really need English to play those games, so it's all good.
Yeah, I think it was interesting for us, at least, because we had the Super Nintendo, and then we had a 64, and we, for some reason, we traded in the 64. I think the argument was put forward to my parents by my brother that you can just burn the PS1 games, so we ended up trading our 64 in for that. I remember the day they were going to go do it, I went down to where the 64 was packed up, and I took out my favourite game and I put it in a drawer, which was Kobe Bryant Courtside. I absolutely loved it, because I got it for my birthday, and I'm like, there's no way they're taking this. So, yeah, they traded in, we got the PS... No, I don't know, we came out with like a Sega Mega Drive for some reason. Yeah. We had that for a week, and then we got a PS1.
So
we went from like... having a 64 to a Sega, so we went back in time, and we got rid of the Sega, and we had a PS1 with, like, Muppet Racer and stuff, and then we got it chipped, and for a while there, it wasn't, like, we weren't really buying games, we were just burning them for the video store, so.
Yeah, well, that was a big thing towards the late 90s, early 2000s, something about just going down to the market. I know Caribbean market was pretty big for that, pick up burned games, or you have your modification vendors there.
Yeah.
And you'd either hire a game or you just go pretty much get a bunch of burnt discs. And it was physical copies of the PlayStation 1. I never used to really have them as a kid.
Yeah.
I had my maybe 5 or 10, but then the rest were just burnt.
You'd find that you'd have the games that you bought with the system.
Yeah.
Like, say you got the system and it came with, like, I don't know, V-Rally and Crash Bandicoot, but we had Muppet Racer was real, and then we had, because that came with it, and then we had Final Fantasy IX, my brother bought that real, and that was probably the only real game we had until recently when I started getting a few.
Yeah.
But I don't actually remember going to a store and seeing PlayStation 1 games, to be honest, because we never looked at them. We just burned them from the video store. Like, I remember hiring them and stuff like that, but geez, if I had the knowledge I have now, I would have been like, let's go get them, because, you know, I suppose you could say that about anything, you know. If you knew what was rare, you'd just go get it.
Exactly.
But, yeah, there is some really, really good PS1 games, but I guess for us, though, we were just too busy playing the ones that everyone knew about, like Crash Bandicoot and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, it's very interesting. Like, we had to beg and beg and beg to get a Nintendo 64, and we really only had it for a couple of years. I don't know, maybe a year, and then we got rid of it. It's like,
oh really?
Wow! Like, we put in so much effort to get it, and then we just got rid of it. So
yeah, my dad's got the PlayStation 1 pretty much near launch, and that was a fair bit. He was like $6.98 at the time. Hence why we traded in the Super Nintendo, to bring the price down a bit. And probably like a couple months later, I don't know if my parents were competing, but Super Nintendo was sitting in my bedroom waiting to be played, and I was just like, oh my god. And then Banjo-Kazooie, which is actually one of my favourite games, and we actually beat it recently.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. Took up a bit of time. But, we had a lot of fun, and when I was playing that as a kid, I loved my Nintendo 64. I traded it in a bit later on for the PlayStation 2, which was at release date again, and that was over $750, I believe, and it was quite crazy. But
I remember you getting that because you were the only one at school that had one.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, I don't even know what was on it. Like, nothing good.
Oh, it would have been GTA.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Yeah, because then, like, people slowly started getting them. But you had it, because they were out for some time before the Xbox.
I had it in, like, grade 6, and that was about 2000. Yeah.
It was so expensive, like, there was no chance I was getting that. I remember I got my PS2 off a guy I used to work with when I was, like, 17. He wanted $50 for it. Got it off him.
Yeah.
I still have it. That's awesome. But yeah, that PS2 is just a great system. So many great games.
Fantastic.
But then again, like, I had that. We got a GameCube during that wave of consoles. And, like, Luigi's Mansion, Super Smash Bros., stuff like that. We got all that. But yeah, so we were back to buying games, which is something we hadn't done since the Super Nintendo 64.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I guess for families it was more efficient to have a PS1 and just burn games, you go as many games as you want.
Yeah,
whereas, but if you ask people today, like, if they remember playing Mario Kart, they're like, oh, they get so excited, because it's like, that was a great game. So credit to Nintendo for putting out games that were good enough to make people actually buy them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess that's...
Cartridges weren't cheap either back then.
Yeah, well, that's it. It's so fun to go back and get stuff that was in a cardboard box. So I don't even know how he used to do it. Did you used to go and get a slip off the back of the shelf? Or?
It was a few places where it was a slip, and then they had it behind the entertainment center.
Yeah.
But sometimes they were just on the shelf, and then you'd take it up, and I believe they put the cartridge in there for you.
Yeah. I do recall one time, I think it was Toys R Us, they had a slip, and the box was on the shelf, and you give it to them, and they just give you a brand new one sealed.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they did that, actually.
I think we did that with Pokemon Snap. You know, this is awesome.
Yeah,
it's good times.
Pokemon Snap was a good one.
Yeah, you know, you'd think they'd do another one of them.
Yeah, like, your Wii U is built for something like that.
Yeah, well,
released.
You would really, you know, you'd think they'd even have it on the Virtual Console. I know they had it on the Wii console, but...
Yeah.
I don't know why they don't have it on the Wii U. Call coming? No, it's up. Yeah, so that's interesting. I was talking about that, though, because the Wii U actually has quite a few titles on the store.
Yeah.
Without you purchasing any or...
I haven't purchased any, but I've had a look in the store.
There's a lot of indie games which are quite good, too. I haven't got any of them, but I've watched a video of them on YouTube, and they're quite good.
Yeah.
But yeah, so... with the Wii U at the moment, I just downloaded Donkey Kong 2, which I have on numerous consoles, and Mario World, which, they're just fun because you can play something on the Wii U and just push the home button, you go back to the dashboard, and you just play like 15 minutes of something on the Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
It's just, I wish you could somehow get a license that says you might own this car, so I'm allowed to download it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's sort of like if you're downloading music illegally, you'd say, like, can I own the CD?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? or something like that, because it's just fun to play them. The ease is, it's just so easy, you know what I mean?
And that's why I suppose the electrical downloads are going that way, because it's just easy.
Yeah.
Because pick up and play, there's no fuddling with discs or cartridges and...
production costs going on or something.
Yeah, production costs and then space in someone's house. It's all eliminated.
I suppose as well, you know, people probably buy new consoles or something like that and they just pay the $10 to get the game again.
Yeah.
Even if they lose, like, $10, you know, it doesn't really matter to a lot of people.
Yeah.
They could buy the game 5 times and they don't even realise it. And meanwhile, the company's like, great, this is what we want.
Yeah.
So, no, it's really, really cool. But, yeah. Well, other than that, I mean, what are you playing at the moment?
At the moment, really, it's just Shovel Knight, and just been playing a bit of Call of Duty online, and FIFA.
Yeah,
I play a fair bit of FIFA.
Yeah.
I was playing a bit of DuckTales on the Nintendo Entertainment System. But besides that, yeah, they're my key games at the moment.
Do you find with the NES games, you sort of play them until you finish them, or you just play them for a bit of fun? Because, I mean, most of them are pretty impossible to finish.
I play them for a bit of fun.
Yeah.
There are some games that I play to finish, but it's either going to require writing down a password because time is an issue.
Yeah.
And if you don't unlock the password, you have to start from the start.
Yeah, I'm feeling. Yeah, I think I went through a stage where I was like, every week I'm going to try and beat a Super Nintendo game.
Yeah.
So I started off, you know, I don't know what I played, but I played a few different games and I was beating them. And then I got to Roadrunner on Super Nintendo and I got to like the third level and it just gets impossible. And I'm like looking at clips on YouTube and I'm like, how do they do this? Like, it's so hard. Uh-huh. You know, and I just get discouraged and you're like, you know, it doesn't become fun when you just keep on dying. So I was like, all right, well. Another thing about that, what we're talking about, the Wii U, having a Super Nintendo game, you can actually pause it and then come back to it later. You can make a save state. Do you remember that with the old ROMs?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You can sort of bring up the game again and reload a slot that you've created. So if you're doing a game that doesn't have its save or you're mid-level and you want to try a boss a certain time, you can do that, which I thought that was really, really cool. It's a bit dodgy, like, in terms of being the game, honestly, but
yeah.
Who cares? I won't tell anyone if you don't.
Yeah. It helps you get through.
Yeah, that's it. But, yeah, you were saying you beat Banjo-Kazooie. Well, we beat it. Well, you sort of beat it. yeah, we started playing that. Well, you started playing it, and you got about 65% through. And then I came in and sort of did a few things on Rusty Bucket and Click Rock Woods for you.
Yeah.
And then, we ended up... You did the Witch, yesterday?
It was a couple of days ago. Beat the Witch.
Yeah.
Nearly beat her just pretty much just unlimited, all your 100 eggs and your 200 eggs and 100 feathers and 10 gold feathers.
Yep.
But I came to the last bit where you gotta shoot your eggs inside the Mega Jinzo.
Yep.
And that witch just wouldn't stop firing her fireballs at me, and I'm like, nah, that's it, we're gonna go back. We're going to get all the notes.
Yeah.
We're going to get the jigsaws I need. We're going to get this double life, and she's going down, and she...
Yeah, because, I mean, I've played that game from release. I reckon once every 2 years I try and beat it, and I've never been able to beat it. I can do every level 100%, but I can't beat the witch. And, I mean, I don't know if I can clearly say that I've beaten it now, even though you've beaten it, because I wasn't there when you did it, but... I can do the game, but I can't do the last boss. But I've just ordered the rare replay, so I'm going to probably try and play 100%.
Yeah.
And then life will be complete. I'll stop collecting and move on. Move on to like art or something.
Hell no.
But anyway, well, I think that'll wrap it up for today's episode.
Yeah.
We'll upload this to YouTube, and if you have any questions, put them down in the comments section, and we'll try to answer them or discuss them on the next episode. I'm not really sure at this stage how often we're going to be doing them, but I guess we'll try for one, maybe every 2 weeks. We'll just see how it takes off from there. But thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoyed it. Okay,
see
you next time.